This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. U.S. President Joe Biden is heading back to Washington Saturday after meeting Arab leaders in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, where he laid out his vision for U.S. engagement in the Middle East to counter Iran. AP correspondent Shelley Adler has more.
At the end of his trip to the Middle East, President Biden spoke at a summit of Gulf leaders, as well as rulers from Iraq, Egypt, and Jordan.
Let me state clearly that the United States is going to remain an active, engaged partner in the Middle East.
And he said he's clear-eyed about challenges in the region.
We will not walk away and leave a vacuum to be filled by China, Russia, or Iran. We'll seek to build on this moment with active, principled American leadership.
During the summit, the president outlined the principles of his strategy for the Middle East, focusing on regional cooperation to stand up to threats. I'm Shelley Adler.
Sri Lanka's parliament met Saturday to begin the process of electing a new president, and a shipment of fuel arrived to provide some relief to the crisis-hit nation. On Tuesday, the legislature is expected to take nominations for the presidency. A vote is set to take place on Wednesday. Meanwhile, Sri Lanka's ousted president, Gotabaya Rajapaksa, says in his resignation letter that he took all possible steps to avert the economic crisis that has engulfed the island nation. He said Sri Lanka's financial crisis was rooted in years of economic mismanagement that predated his presidency and in the COVID-19 pandemic that drastically reduced the country's tourist trade. Parliament accepted the president's resignation on Friday, a day after he fled the country to the Maldives, then Singapore, before resigning. From Washington, you're listening to VOA News. Ukraine says the latest target of Russian missiles is a city in the country's southeast. AP correspondent Ben Thomas has that story.
This time, Ukrainian officials say the cruise missiles were fired from Russian strategic bombers over the Caspian Sea. They hit a factory in Dnipro on the Dnieper River. Four missiles were intercepted. Airstrikes also were reported in Kremenchuk, another city along the Dnieper, south of Kyiv. Earlier in the day, the southern city of Mykolaiv was the target. Firefighters dousing smoking wreckage after at least 10 explosions. President Vladimir Zelensky says universities were hit, along with a shipbuilding institute. He says since launching its invasion, Russia has struck more than 2,000 educational institutions, from kindergartens to universities. I'm Ben Thomas.
The latest fighting comes as Russia's defense minister directed his troops operating in Ukraine to further intensify their military operations. Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu said the move was to prevent strikes on eastern Ukraine and other territories controlled by Russia in a statement posted on the ministry's website. Sudanese authorities have declared an overnight curfew in two towns in southeastern Blue Nile State, close to the border with Ethiopia, after several days of tribal clashes that they say killed 31 people and left 39 injured. Clashes in several towns spread from Wednesday after the killing of a farmer, before security forces made arrests and brought the situation under control. This from a statement from the Blue Nile State's regional government. The statement said 16 shops had been destroyed and a night curfew was declared in the towns of Damazine and Raseres. In Israel, sirens warned residents in the southern part of the country of an incoming rocket attack from Gaza early on Saturday. Israel said four rockets were launched toward Israel, but none made contact with a target. The Israeli military said one was intercepted, three others fell into areas where they did no damage. The Israel Defense Force said it retaliated with a fighter jet attack, targeting two sites used by Hamas. That's the militant Islamic group that governs the Gaza Strip. The attack came just hours after U.S. President Joe Biden left Israel, where he met with Prime Minister Yair Lapid. He later met with the president of the Palestinian Authority as well. Afghanistan's cash-strapped Taliban government has tripled prices for coal in less than a month to raise revenue amid a lack of direct foreign funding and its booming coal exports to neighboring Pakistan. That information came from the Ministry of Mines and Petroleum in Kabul, speaking to VOA on Saturday. You can check out our website for more stories. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. You're listening to VOA News.